I'd like to welcome into the studio now, Doug. Hi, Doug.
How are you doing?
You are a contributor, organiser of FTP Radio, For the People.
Yes, I was, yes.
You were?
Yeah, back when it was a moving force in Bristol, a strong sound in Bristol. Yeah, I was one of the main presenters and the main members of the station.
Okay.
And obviously that's what contributed, you know, along with all the other presenters, that contributed to being quite a major force in Bristol at the time.
Okay. How long ago were we talking? When did...
Now you asked me to use my memory. We're talking probably about 18 years ago now, isn't it? Something like that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not
sure. Were you on you were a force on FM radio?
Yeah, we was... at the time, FTP, as far as pirate radio stations are concerned, there was about four different pirate radio stations. We were the top dog, so to speak. You know, we were the ones that were presenting the best music and presenting the best styles of music and what English music or English R&B and soul and reggae music was about, as well as music from around the world. We were presenting, you know, and representing, basically, for everybody.
So your other competitors, if would have been Passion, I guess, were they?
No, I didn't think Passion was around then. It was all Black FM and Power FM and... There was a fair few others, but no, Passion was just about thought about.
Okay, what were the relationships between these four pirate stations like? Were you sort of fairly
competitive? Very competitive. Yeah. I mean, it was all friendly, but we were, you know, we're really about trying to be the best DJs possible. You know, we didn't just do it just for the love. We did it. We were very competitive about our music and very passionate about what we did and how we presented our music. And it was a case of who can get to the shop and get the first imports, because back then it was all about imported records and you know, and CDs were never played. It's all vinyl. So we would, you know, we'd run to the shop as soon as, you know, on a Tuesday. We knew, you know, somewhere like Soundville Records. Go there on a Tuesday morning. George, where's the CD? Where's the vinyl?
Yeah.
And you know, he'd come out and go to the imports and get them from America. And we'd grab them as fast as we could and get down and get to the radio station and play them. And, you know.
Okay. Well, how many people do you know listen to you at your peak? How much influence did you have?
I mean, before we became legal, I mean, we was talking 40-odd thousand people was listening to that radio station as a pirate radio station.
How long were you a pirate before you became legal then?
7 years at least.
So what happened for you in order to become legal? What does that mean in terms of your operation? What happened?
Going from being pirate to being legal, the transformation, although exciting, was not a good one, really. It really, the old, it was kind of like the time elapsing to going into it. We had to come off air, and as DJs, we became a bit rusty, I guess, you know, that's the way of looking at it. But once we went back on air, it wasn't the same feeling. It was kind of like we'd gone from being into this kind of like nice space to being into this kind of clinical surroundings, which we weren't used to as DJs. We liked it rough and ready.
So you moved offices and...
Yeah, the whole thing shifted and we went right uphill and up the scale, so to speak. But to me, it made the whole environment not what it used to be, you know? I mean, we used to go to the studio, we used to be like a house somewhere with a bedroom with ripped wallpapers and posters stuck on the wall, you know, of all sorts. And we'd have beer cans in the corner and we all getting drunk and you know, we had a good time on air. And going into this legal scenario, we kind of lost that kind of being able to party and have a good time on air. So, it became a bit more official, you know.
Okay. How did you feel advertising affected the sound of your show? Did you have to sort of have lots of ad breaks and...
Advertisement is always part of radio anyway. That's how radio stations exist, whether they're pirates or legal. You have to have advertisement. And that didn't really affect us, but...
How do you operate getting advertising if you're effectively illegal?
Well, you're a community radio station, so community businesses would advertise on your station.
Okay.
Like, you know, hairdressers and butchers and local to the area or where we're broadcasting. People who put on events, they would advertise on the radio. So that's helped us to pay our rent and keep the equipment up, et cetera, et cetera, so...
Do you feel you were able to not only play records that are made by local Bristol people, but you were able to sort of actively support it and lift the local music scene to a high level through your radio station? What did you contribute to the
community? As far as I'm concerned, radio stations at those areas and that era were the major contributions to artists becoming known in their environment. Without the radio stations pushing and presenting their stuff, they really didn't get any voice into, you know, a voice to speak for him, etc., for him to go further. So we, as stations, really pushed those artists as much as possible. We'd have a playlist and play their release singles, whether they're from Bristol or London or wherever. We'd play them every hour on the radio and call them power plays and stuff like that. So we were very, you know, very proactive to making sure that the artists were pushed on the station.
As a veteran of pirate radio, do you think the scene is as good now as it was? What do you think about local radio stations?
I think they're good. I mean, there's times have changed. I mean, more information is more important. Back then, it wasn't the information that was really important. It was the music that was a lot more important to people, because it was an era where music and fun went hand in hand. Now, music and information is important, because it's a lot of rubbish going on in life now. So people need to know more about it. So it's good to have informative shows and shows that speak about what's going on, whether it's locally or worldwide. I think that's really good. But I do feel, along, you know, trying to make that mix happen isn't happening very well with the community stations, in the sense of making music and information go together properly.
What do you make of BCFM? I mean, they're a local legal community station. What do you make of their efforts?
I believe any station that's making any effort to communicate with the local community is, you know, I got my hats off to them, because as far as I'm concerned, it's an uphill struggle all the time trying to provide information for your local community. You know, that's something that seems to be a no-no as far as the radio authorities are concerned. They don't really take in consideration what the communities and the areas are in, individual areas for these stations need. And obviously the communities themselves are looking for information about what's going on around in their local neighbourhood, as well as the fact that people from all around the world settle in different parts of the world and countries and cities, etc. And we want to know what's going on in our, where we come from as well. Yeah. So, you know, which is directly affecting us. Where I'm Jamaican descendant, so I want to know what's going on where my mum comes from, where she lives and stuff.
Do you feel the Jamaican community is adequately provided for in
Absolutely pirate? Not.
No?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. I think the pirate radio stations, as they operate today, are, you know, strangely enough, still doing the same old thing. They're all about music. The community stations, the more licensed stations, they tend to have more information, but not geared up for what I believe the multicultural mixture that we have in Bristol, especially in Bristol.
What pirate stations do you know of that you listen to that, you know, what you're a pick of?
Well, Passion FM is the main dealer right now.
Are you contributing to them?
No, not at all.
No. Are you involved in sort of pirate radio yourself now?
I was about 2 years ago. In fact, I was sort of involved in running my own station, which was called BS1 Radio. But I find the politics involved with working with certain DJs made it very difficult, so I kind of stepped out of that.
Okay, are you thinking about getting back involved?
I am, actually.
Yeah, what are your plans?
If I was to get back involved, I would be more internet-based, I think, because...
Do you think there's as big a listenership?
I think if it's promoted and marketed right, it can be done right, yeah. I mean, when we was on as BS1, we did have quite a good internet following, because obviously we was getting... You can tell how many people's listening to, etc. And we was getting, you know, people going online from as far as America and Jamaica. And
how big was your listenership, do you know, roughly?
Well, I wouldn't know. I honestly wouldn't know. But to be honest, it was quite large. I mean, we would have like 60, 70 people. The problem is, at the time, the technology we was using, you couldn't have too many people online, and the stream would start to filter out, and it would get all, you know, people would start getting bits of music rather than the full thing. So it wasn't, you couldn't have too many people online, but we did get to a stage where it got really.
How many
really good.
Music has become a lot more commercialised as the decades have gone on. How do you think that's going to affect doing pirate radio now? Do you think as many local artists are going to get through as did? Do you think more people are getting involved, but they're making a more commercial sound, or
commercial music. The only thing I can say that England's contributing on, you know, if I'm going to put it from like a drum and bass or garage scene, if we're looking at that scene is a market that is kind of in its own field. They have got its own support. But outside of its own support, it's not going to go much further. It's not going to go like to America or Japan. I don't see that scene expanding because it is sort of a British feel to the music and it's stuck there in that groove. As far as live music is concerned, pirate radio stations don't really get involved too much in promoting live bands and live scene. Back in the day they did, but not so much now.
Do you think that's... But you missed that?
Yeah, I think live music's great. I mean, I think the venues for the live music in Bristol isn't very good. There isn't a lot of venues here to promote and for live bands to go to and promote their thing. But yeah, I think I like that scene. And back in the day, the scene was heavy. It was really good. You'd go to Trinity, different places, and hear that music, and it would be promoted.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Doug. People are listening to Pirate Radio. Do you have a sort of a DJ name that you go by?
If I ever go on, it'd be Dougie D. But I played sort of the R&B and the old school soul classics. So that's what I do.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on. Keep it real, and best of luck for the future.
And you take it easy.